Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pleased to be joined right now by a friend of the show, does a great job covering the NBA. You can find him on Twitter at HoopsCritic. You can catch him on SiriusXM, NBA TV. If you were following him on Twitter during the draft, you saw that he was at the draft in New York for that. And pleased to be joined right now by Brian Geltzeiler. Geltz, what's happening, buddy?
What's shaking, Shawnee? How we doing, pal?
Doing good, man. I joked earlier in the show that we're in LeBron season now. You know, it's, there's regular season, postseason, and LeBron season. And
yes,
so,
And
so I'm curious, Geltz, you know, the Lakers, I don't know based on any inside information, but for whatever reason, the Lakers have vaulted to the prohibitive favorite on the odds board to land LeBron James. I'm curious, though, your thoughts. If there is no second star that wants to go to L.A., if Paul George stays in OKC, Chris Paul stays in Houston, they don't do a trade for Kawhi, there's no second star. Do you still think that LeBron would see L.A. as a favorable place to go in 2018?
I think there's a chance.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it would depend upon what the Cavs could do. Listen, I think this is a two-horse race. I think either he goes to the Lakers or he stays with the Cavs. I don't think I know Philly's holding out a lot of hope. I don't think that's a likely outcome at all. And I think Philly understands it's not a likely outcome as well, hence the trade they made on draft night with Phoenix to collect that 2021 unprotected pick. And I spoke to Brett Brown yesterday, and he made no uncertain terms that they're most likely to not use that pick themselves, but that pick is an aid to go star chasing. And if you're using picks to go star chasing, you're looking at the trade route as opposed to doing something through free agency. They understand they're not going to get LeBron. So it's a two-horse race. So here's what it comes down to. Will he go to the Lakers alone? Well, that depends what the Cavs can do. Listen, is there a deal out there potentially for the Cavs to make if they would want to trade Colin Sexton to the Charlotte Hornets? There's an easy deal to make with Hill and J.R. Smith, who are non-guaranteed in 19 and 20 and are only guaranteed for very small dollar amounts. So you can punt them off your books at the end of the year, and they would take Kemba Walker, and they would get Nicholas Batum, his very bad contract, back to Cleveland. And ultimately, if they could reload that, keep Kevin Love and reload that with LeBron, well, maybe he would want to stay to be able to do that. But, you know, listen, you go to the Lakers and you kind of spend a year seeing what's under the hood. The only issue is that for LeBron, the prime years are not going to be that many at this point in time. I mean, most guys don't do this at 33. You have to figure about 35, 36, it's going to start to slow down at one point or another. Do you want to give up one of those prime years being alone with just a bunch of young guys when you're not going to be Golden State with a group like that? So that's the largest question with him. But listen, there's a lot to be determined here. I don't think it's going to be the Rockets either. I just don't see that to be a likely scenario. They got to have too many things have to happen for them, and too many guys have to sacrifice financially who've waited to not sacrifice financially. So I don't see that happening either. It's going to be very interesting to see how it shakes out. But, again, would it surprise me if he went to the Lakers with nobody? It would, but I definitely wouldn't rule it out either.
Geltz, just so we're clear on the rules with respect to trades and things like that as we approach free agency here, because you need to take a college course to know all the rules when it comes to the NBA and financials. Are the Cavaliers able to trade Colin Sexton after drafting him this past week, or is there a window? Is it like free agency where you can't trade a guy until X date? Can they trade a young guy like that even though he hasn't set foot on the court yet for them?
They can trade his draft rights. Once they sign him, they got to wait 60 days.
Gotcha.
So that's the way that works. So with his draft rights here, they absolutely can do that. If you remember, the Cavs had signed Wiggins, then went ahead to trade him for Love. So we had to wait an extra 30 days for that deal to be done. That's because they had signed him to a contract. If Sexton's not signed to a contract, his rights can be moved. So they wouldn't have to be held up there. And even if they were held up, it wouldn't be the biggest deal in the world. So big deal, finalize it August whatever. You know what I mean? So you'd figure that out either way. But listen, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. I mean, for LeBron, he's got to really measure what he wants to do here. There is a value to staying in the East, but if he stays in the East, it's only going to be where he is, because you got to realize also he's enjoying being a father to his kids, spending time with them, and he wants this to be one of the two places his kids and his family would really be happy living, either in Akron, Ohio, where they are now, or out in L.A. in Brentwood. And let's face it, it doesn't suck out there, Shawnee.
No, it does not. Geltz, Brian Geltzeiler, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Geltz, so from LeBron over to the other intriguing, fascinating situation, Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs. What are we to make of this sit-down that Greg Popovich was able to get with Kawhi and Team Kawhi?
Yeah, it really wasn't Team Kawhi. It was just Kawhi. It was just Kawhi Leonard and Greg Popovich. And Kawhi Leonard let him know in no uncertain terms, I don't want to come back in our locker room next year. And I don't know, the Spurs aren't happy to hear this. The Spurs don't like being kind of held hostage, which is what's happening here. He wants to go to L.A. That's what he's determined to do. Now, the thing for the Spurs is they'd like to really wait and be patient and see what shakes out. They're certainly not going to run and do anything here with the Lakers preemptively till they see where LeBron James goes. Because if the Lakers strike out on LeBron James and they strike out on Paul George, the Spurs may have him over a barrel a little bit, and all of a sudden they may pony up more than what they would have normally, knowing there wasn't as much of a market, because they may panic a little bit. You know, Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka are smart guys, but they also have been doing this as long as Pop and R.C. Buford. So, you know, the Spurs are certainly going to wait them out. In the meantime, you know, Danny Ainge, I truly believe, because here's the deal. Danny Ainge is interested in him, but Danny Ainge also wants to know the Celtics are going to be seriously considered to sign long-term. But here's the thing. Kawhi goes to the Celtics. Whatever they give up, they're going to go to the finals. They're going to be the best team in the Eastern Conference as long as they stay healthy. If they go to the finals, he's not leaving. He's going to sign there because if he's worth it to trade for in the first place, the guy's competitive enough that going to the finals is going to make him want to come back and do it all over again with that group. He's not running away from that to run to L.A. He's too competitive a guy. So I do think in the end, Boston's going to be involved. And listen, Brett Brown went to get that 2021 unprotected pick to go after superstars. Kawhi Leonard's a superstar. And they have a very interesting package with Saric and Covington and now Zaire Smith. And now this pick, they could really overwhelm. They could overwhelm the Spurs with an offer. Now, what will they have to sell their program on Kawhi too? Will Kawhi stay there? I don't know if it's as much a lock as it would be in Boston, but you know, it's a very interesting marketplace. Kawhi's done it. Listen, San Antonio, I don't think is going to stare him down and bring it back and let it get any uglier, because it's a very, very ugly situation right now. And some of the things that the Spurs have done here have gone against the Spurs' way. And Kawhi Leonard's hurt, and he's angry, and he really doesn't want anything to do with them anymore. He thinks they're all full of it, Shawnee. You know what I mean? I mean, listen, you preach one way, we keep all of our dirty laundry in-house till they got a problem with him, and then they wash it all publicly. And then he meets with Pop, and now what happens? The Spurs Mafia, David Robinson, Bruce Bowen, they're out publicly assaulting Kawhi? Come on. Come on. There's no need for this type of PR assault against the guy that you considered your best player that not long ago was a finals MVP for you. It was not – the Spurs got frustrated and handled their business in the wrong way, and they're paying for it right now. And the problem is there's a little bit too much arrogance dripping off that whole program right now in terms of them acknowledging how badly they've screwed up here.
That's a fascinating situation. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, I want to make sure I ask you about Dwight Howard before I let you go, because this is an equally fascinating thing for me from a standpoint of, I feel like this is the first time Dwight's been on the market where he can't command max or near max dollars, even from bad teams, because it feels like damage that's been done. What do you think happens with Dwight Howard? And does he have the makeup to be a guy who goes ring chasing on lower level contracts? Does he have the mental makeup to be a guy like that, do you think?
As long as he's collected $20 million from the Nets this year, sure. You know what I mean? I mean, listen, the money's still hitting his checking account, Shawnee. So from that standpoint, for him, it's a net. He's going to make, you know, the veteran minimum plus whatever they buy him out for, which is going to be close to his number anyway. So he'll make, you know, he'll put all that money in his pocket, probably a little more. So as long as he's making that money, I don't think it's going to be a problem, him ring chasing somewhere. The problem with him ultimately is that, is he going to just want to fit in? Because it's always about him getting the ball, him being in the post. I could see this. Listen, a team that's got a very strong foundation would decide to take a shot at him. I could see Golden State deciding to do it. I really could. You know, I mean, they weren't afraid of JaVale McGee or Nick Young, and that all worked out. I could certainly see wherever LeBron ends up bringing Dwight Howard over there. Because here's what you could do with Dwight Howard if you're one of those teams. You could give him like the Jordan Cartwright treatment, like the Isaiah Thomas, James Edwards treatment, like the first four or five possessions down to start the game, you're pouring the ball into the post to him. You give him a bunch of touches, see if you can get him going, see if you can get a few buckets. Maybe they double him, he kicks out, somebody gets an open look, but now you got him involved. And then you go run your offense and play your game after that. But you've established him. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but you give him that opportunity. You work that through. He's satisfied. Then he wants to go defend, play pick and roll, and attack for you with the understanding that he's playing with guys that are just better than him and he's on the downside of the mountain. Now, can he understand that? If this situation, after some of them, he had a really good year in terms of numbers last year. If this situation doesn't humble this dude, nothing's ever going to humble this dude. Maybe nothing ever will. But I do think, you know, in terms of a veteran minimum and being able to send him home if it's not working out, I think for a lot of teams it's worth a shot.
Yeah, that's the key, I guess. It's one thing if it's not working and you're paying him $25 million and he's hogging up a big chunk of your cap. You know, veteran minimum, you punt on it if it's not working. Geltz, last thing, we got about a minute. You were at the draft the other night. What was the best moment for you the other night being at the draft where you otherwise wouldn't have been able to experience if you were, say, watching it at home like the rest of us?
Well, we have a very interesting situation. In the room, you know, you got everybody at home sees the main arena floor. But in Barclays Center, the Nets have a practice court right adjacent to that area. Okay, and that practice court is where all of the live recording takes place. TV interviews, radio interviews, so I'm with SiriusXM, and we're set up in there. So there's a couple of TVs set up in there. So as the beginning of the draft starts, there's nobody coming in for interviews yet because they got to go to a lot of stations before they get to us. They got to ESPN, NBA TV, and they come through to us. So we have, as a bunch of media members, are standing there gathered around two TVs watching the first couple of picks of the draft. And the Doncic, Trae Young draft got like oohs and ahs out of all the media people sitting there, immediate analysis people flying around. So that was a very, very cool moment in terms of all the media finding out at the same time, standing there gathered around two TVs that really weren't the biggest TVs in the world either. So it was kind of a weird little scene there considering we were on site. But like that's the area that we had to be. That's where we were assigned to. So it was kind of wild. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. I enjoy just seeing the pictures, Geltz. You look so happy when you're there. I love seeing
so much fun there. It really is. It's so much fun talking to these kids. It's the best night of their lives. And it's funny because you know me with in-depth analysis and criticism and all that stuff. But when it comes to the draft, you're just watching kids achieve dreams. Some kids came from very privileged backgrounds. Other kids came from very poor backgrounds. And this is a night of their life that, you know what, they're going to make money here from being drafted this evening. It's going to sustain them for the rest of their life. And seeing the families and a happy. I mean, it's a little hokey, Shawnee, but you know what? It's a really cool thing. Like, it's a lot of fun watching Aaron Holiday walk through that room the other night with his two brothers, okay, both of them wearing the hats for the team they played for and how proud they were of their little brother. Like, that's a nice moment kind of stuff, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Brian Geltzeiler, at Hoops Critic on Twitter. Give him a follow and listen to him on SiriusXM. Geltz, really, really appreciate it. We will do it again soon, my friend. Thank you.
You got it, Shawnee. My pleasure, pal. Talk to you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.